Hello and welcome to our Vital Health Community question and answer coaching call for the month of May 2018. I'm always excited to be here with you and to support you through your health journey and answer your questions and help you to get the right guidance and support. So the way these calls work is that some people may have put questions in advance, and I will answer those first. I see that there is one in there in advance. Great. And then others of you will have questions and you're on the call. You can either type them into the Q&A box or you can raise your hand. So this question that came in was from Susan, and Susan from Lockhart, and she has a question about sleep. My son starts a new job next week on the night shift. He'll be at work between 10 and 11 and getting off work at between five and six. What would be the best way to transition to these hours over the weekend? I'm not sure. I would just get started doing those hours over the weekend. Are there specific foods and supplements to offset the stress his body will experience with this schedule? Excellent food, the way you know how to do it. Low glycemic, off all the allergens, anti-inflammatory foods, just very specific foods that would be healthy and nutritious. Specific foods that have like phosphatidylcholine to help support the adrenals and the cortisol levels, vitamin C rich foods, phosphatidylcholine rich foods like lecithin or sunflower seeds, that kind of thing. All right. And let's go. Let's see. That's the only one I see chimed in. And let me check the chat and then we'll go ahead and, you also pressed star two. Okay. So let me see. Lynn, did you have your hand up for a question or comment or to tell me that you heard me?
I had a comment because my husband works night shift.
And, okay, great.
Yes, which is why. So I've got lots of research on this. Not that he necessarily listens, but he's getting there. Actually, I noticed a little shift in him. So really being committed, doing everything that you have through the sleep module in NEPT is going to be important. So doing the things like making the room dark and just treating it like it's nighttime. So you set up almost a reverse schedule, and you've got to be consistent with that. And that's the difficult part, because the rest of the world is on a day schedule. And so there's phone calls and people stopping by, and life is different. So, and I think I heard you say that it's only for 3 months. So, that at least is a little more doable than thinking this is the rest of my life. Yeah. But, so that's something that, that consistency is really, really important for that circadian rhythm during that time, and any of those pieces you can do for that. Don't do the caffeine, whether it's coffee or Mountain Dew or whatever. But have a similar schedule. So like most of us work out in the morning. So before he wakes up, have that same type of a schedule. So he'll work out when he first wakes up. So if he has to be to work, say, at 11 at night, then, get up about, but have worked out first thing in the morning and just treat it as if that's his morning time. So he'll have his own morning time. And yeah, it's just his day of sleep, and that's just so important. So when my husband actually follows that, he gets good sleep. And that's my 2 cents for that period of time.
Right. So those of you not in NEPT, also we have that sleep A lot of sleep hygiene stuff in Sweet Spot, and that's in the Sweet Spot Sleep module. And for those of you not in Sweet Spot, we also have, somebody just told me something just crashed on me. Lovely. Okay.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I can hear you.
I always say it when I see the whoops messages, right?
Yeah, I do. I see that, yeah.
All right, good. Yeah, so, yeah. And then also we've done some sleep stuff in Vital. So if you're a Vital Premium member, you can go back to the previous ones. If you're not a Vital Premium member, there is an upgrade place on your site. It's well worth becoming a Vital Premium member. Not only do you save on the monthly fee, but you also get access to 6 years of back calls and resources and extra bonuses and all that. So that's where I would recommend it to. But Susan herself is in NEPT, so that's
right. And that's the only reason I mentioned that.
Right. But for those of you who are interested in more information about sleep, that's where you can find more information about sleep.
Right. And you have written a couple of blog posts about it, mm-hmm. but I completely agree. I mean, I still go back all the way to the beginning because you have some excellent vital health topics on, like one of the first ones you did was on the herbs to include while you're doing any type of, like a green cleanse or something, and those also related to sleep.
Great. Super. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
All right. So questions. *2 on your telephone keypad raises your hand for a question, and you can also type them in. We are, I'm real excited about our Vital Healing Kitchen on Saturday because it's going to be all about recipe redos. So make sure you have it on your calendar. We did a few recipe redos a couple of months ago. We did lasagna and we did pizza. So if you missed that one, go back and listen to that one. But a whole bunch of people commented on our Unstoppable Health group when I put a post out that said, hey, what are some of the foods that you are not so good for you that are your favorites that you wish you could learn how to make in a healthier for you way? And so we have a list of those and we're going to get through as many of those as possible. And if we don't get through all of them, then we will continue and do that again in one of the coming shows. So be there. I can't remember some of the stuff. We'll have ice cream and we'll have a variety of different dessert things and a variety of like the comfort food type things that people have requested. So be there. All right. So I don't see any other questions. Sorry, I need to drink. I realized I haven't been talking much today, but I exerted a lot. I did the sauna and long run with bursts in my run, and I forgot to replenish my water after that. So if you hear me slurping throughout, it's trying to get my vocal cords back into working order. All right, so who else has questions? Raise your hand, *2. No questions? I see some of the folks that were at our retreat recently, Marcy, and I see Susan. Sandy, any questions? I see Jay. Jay, any questions? No? Okay, Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, I was just trying not to be a hog with time, but I do have a question.
Okay.
This is for myself regarding getting into keto. I'm just curious about all that. And I have the Keto Mojo eater, and as Sandy and Jay recommended it so highly. And I can't seem to get above 0.4.
Okay.
You know, I'm eating a Sweet Spot way. I dropped cauliflower. I think Brussels sprouts were a little bit sugary. And, you know, really no carrots, no red peppers. And it's like, why? I don't get it.
Well, that's about where, like, on a Sweet Spot type diet, you're not going to get too far into keto. You're just going to be in a real mild ketosis, which you are at 0.4. At zero, you're not in any ketosis, and that comes up.
But I spend more time at 0.2.
Yeah. So it's going to take, you know, some intermittent fasting. You can play with that. And see what it takes to get in there for you. Everybody's a little bit different. For me, I can fast for 16 hours and my ketones rise above 0.5.
Yeah.
But if I'm eating regularly after if I'm eating kind of regularly sweet spot style after the intermittent fast and I'm only eating two meals a day and spacing them, I can stay in the mild ketosis, which would be, you know, somewhere between 0.5 and 1 or 1.5. But really to get there, you're going to need to do a little bit less carby for a while and just figure it out. So I don't know what you're actually eating or how much that makes a difference too and how frequently, right?
Well,
you may have to increase your fat.
Okay. Well, I'm doing two meals a day with, you know, between 15 and 20 hours in between.
Between how many hours in between?
About 16 to 20.
Oh, okay. So you are doing that. All right,
I'm just curious about all this, and I want to experience it myself.
Yeah. So here's what I would do. Everybody's different, okay? So some people can get into ketosis if they just drop their net carbs to under 100. Some people have to drop them to under 50. Some people to under 10, right? So if you're in a 0.4, it means you're in a mild fat burning mode. But you may have to have a more extreme. And if you just want to experience it, then I would get the chronometer, I think that's how you say it, app. You can put all your foods in there, and you can actually let it calculate for you your net carbs.
Oh, right? Okay.
Your calories. And then you can start playing with it. But I had one person I worked with, and we were trying to get her into ketosis because she had some neurological stuff, and it was a real therapeutic reason we wanted to get her there. But for her, it took getting under 10 grams of net carb. So she had to be really careful. Yeah, you can't eat a lot. So she was doing things like lettuce. So it's not a healthy diet to maintain long term.
Right.
Right? So she was on the super low, I don't think she even ate broccoli. I think it was lettuce and, whatever it was. I can't remember exactly what it was, but she was able to do it, but she was very frustrated because she loved her veggies.
Okay.
But what she would do is, because she had the neurologic stuff, it really helped her brain so much that she would cycle. And that's what a lot of folks do, is she would cycle.
Right.
She was doing protein powders, coconut oil, and as many veggies as she could get to stay into mild ketosis. And she felt better. And then she would cycle it. So she'd do that for maybe a week or two, and then she'd do some days of higher carbs, which for her might have meant cauliflower, you know what I mean? So, and then she'd go back. And it may just be that you don't get enough fat, and it may be that you can do what you're doing, and you can add some MCT oil to it to increase that. So it's really an experiment.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious, and I'd like to experience what it feels like, so
mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling.
That's pretty good for me. I like it.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep.
Bye. All right. Any other questions, comments? Let me look at the chat. Yeah. So Kim is asking, my son is seeing a dietitian. She says we shouldn't buy supplements on Amazon because many of them are counterfeit. Do you find this to be true? I've heard that. I have ordered things from Amazon and it comes directly from the company. Like I've seen Seeking Health selling on Amazon and it's actually shipped from Seeking Health. It's true that there are unscrupulous people out there and that some of them will, you know, buy up all the stock of stuff and they'll reproduce the labels. And, I'm not a counterfeit, conspiracy theorist. But I have heard that there could be problems. It doesn't mean that everything on Amazon is going to be counterfeit. So you just have to use your discretion. People who sell the supplements, you know, they're oftentimes prefer you to buy it through them just to make sure that, you know, because it's a little bit of extra income. I'm not saying that that's true of your particular person. But yeah, I think you just have to, it's buyer beware wherever you go. I don't know how to confirm that. What we're doing now is we're hooking up with a company that's an official distributor of these companies that we like the various and sundry supplement brands, and you'll be able to go there and order them directly there, and that's about it. So, and they have quick shipping and free shipping over, I think, $100 or something. Anyway, we'll let you know when we have access to that. Sandy, when is the Sweet Spot officially done, and how long will we have Sweet Spot Facebook access? You'll have Sweet Spot Facebook access for a year at least. And then as far as when it's officially done, it's really officially done now probably, but it was basically started when? In February, March, April, May? Yeah, so it's kind of officially almost done, but we're having a call tomorrow night. We're having a bonus call tonight, a bonus Facebook Live with Maria. On the movement in the mind. And we're also having a bonus, like, now what do you do after the metabolic reset is over? I recognize that not everybody's gone through or completed it, but the official metabolic reset is over, and we'll be going through, like, what to do next. Ah, Marcy says a beautiful warm day in Colorado. Nice. It's a beautiful warm day here too. It was funny because yesterday was cooler than it had been last week. It was in the 80s, but it was humid and it felt so much hotter than it had when it was in the 90s and dry. Yeah. All right. Let's see who's here. Star 2 raises your hand. Otherwise, we'll have a short call. You look at Q&A, see if anybody else has questions in there. No, you guys are quiet. Is everything good? So just raise your hand so we can chat, even if you don't have any calls. Tell me what's going on for you. Tell me what's good. Tell me what you need help with. Tell me if you have a special request for our recipe redo, and I'll put it on the list for Saturday. Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Susan questions about the keto diet and everything and that. I've been experimenting, as I probably have shared with you, with it, but I have a tendency towards a fatty liver. Do you have any other ideas or suggestions? Because there may be others on the call or listening to the recording that also have questions in relation to this.
Yeah, a keto diet is not for everyone, just like a macrobiotic diet is not for everyone, just like a FODMAP diet, low FODMAP diet is not for everybody. You just have to really experiment with your own body. Yeah, if you've got epilepsy, if you've got some neurologic issues or autoimmune, sometimes getting your body into a mild nutritional ketosis is very helpful. But if you also have a fatty liver, you can really blow your liver out of the water. And that's the person I was telling you about earlier also had some problems with the liver, and that's why she had to go back and forth. She'd be doing great on the neurologic stuff, and then she'd start to get, you know, doubling over liver and gallbladder pain and pale stools, which is an indication that you're not digesting all the fat. So I think it just goes back to biochemical individuality. We all need to be really aware of what our bodies need and want and respond to. So I personally, you know, I get into ketosis really easy. I guess I'm lucky. Even when I'm not trying, I just go, wow, I haven't eaten in 14 hours, and I test my sugar and my ketones, and my sugar is down at 45 and my ketones are up at 3, and I go, huh, I guess I'm in ketosis, right? And other days I don't get in there that easily. So I think it's all about not trying to follow a particular food religion. It's about trying to follow and figure out what is best for you. Play with it. Go on a low carb, do a fast or a, you know, juice cleanse or a blended food cleanse for a few days. See how that feels. And then add foods back in. See what foods make you feel great. See what foods make you don't feel so great. See what the spacing of your meals feels great for you. Some people are getting jittery because they've got some, you know, adrenal stuff, and they overproduce adrenaline when they don't eat for longer periods of time. Like, it's all about finding out what works for you. I don't have any magic answers for how to make a keto diet work, a plant-based keto diet work for someone with a fatty liver. personally, I am really opposed to keto diets that are like loaded with animal fat. Like people are like, they're eating lard and beef tallow and lots of oil. And I just don't think you can be healthy that way. I think you have to have a lot of plants. But there are times therapeutically, and then maybe you don't, and you have to supplement with the nutrients while you're getting your body in order. It's all about, it's really helpful to work with somebody who can work with you and really hold you accountable, but also to help you to figure it out amongst all the crazy diet religions that are out there. Does that make sense? Does that help?
It makes sense. So is it important for everyone, because this is the feeling that we get from others, not necessarily from you, but from others, that being in that ketogenic state is a desired thing. So
not
maybe reinstating.
It's really
well,
not.
That, I'm just, no, I know I, that's what I'm saying. It may not necessarily be, but that's kind of a message that is being delivered.
Yeah, and because it's the keto craze right now. And when we were in you know, a raw foods craze, everybody said, oh, if you touched cooked broccoli, you're going to get sick, you know? You've got to, it's whatever craze we're in, and whoever gets the biggest mouth marketing-wise gets out there. Yeah, there's some definite benefits to burning ketones as opposed to sugar, especially for people with Alzheimer's, with any kind of memory loss, with any kind of neurologic deficits, with autoimmune disease. It can be very beneficial. But you know who talks about it best, I think, from that keto type of stage is, what's her name? See, I can't. I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. I'm very bad with names. The Walls Protocol. Right?
Oh, Dr. Terry Walls.
Yeah, Dr. Terry Walls, because she said, yeah, I tried this paleo and keto stuff, and what was the problem? I was then vegetarian, and I wasn't improving, and then I tried this keto thing, and I wasn't improving, and then when she took the principles of kind of low glycemic, whole foods, not a lot of sugars, but with a lot of vegetables, her plan calls for, I think, something like 13 or 14 cups of vegetables a day. Rainbow?
Yeah.
Because it's the micronutrients that people need. A lot of people do well on burning carbohydrates. Athletes can't just burn ketones usually. I mean, there are some keto athletes, but it's not a magic number. It's right. It's not like, yes, I'm magical if I have this 3.4. Whatever. But if you're on a protocol and you're trying to do something special, like fasting is the best way to get into ketosis. Then you don't have to worry about your liver. You don't have to worry about eating too much fat. You're just fasting, right? And there are ways to do that. Mimic fasting mimicking diet. I haven't tried that kit. They're going to send me a sample of it so I can try it. The fasting mimicking diet. You know, it does have some carbohydrate, but the way it's balanced macro and micronutrient wise, for a lot of folks, it works beautifully and it mimics a fast. So I just don't think we should get hung up on it. Yeah, we want to keep our blood glucose numbers in the right range, right? And if the blood glucose drops too low, we got to make sure that the ketones are picking up. Otherwise, you can get into trouble. But if there's not the magic that people are putting out there of, yes, you're only going to get healthy if you can get into ketosis, no. I mean, there's a lot of people who talk about that, and you're opposed to you getting into ketosis. So I just don't get hung up on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying for myself, and I thought if I'm having some of those questions as you're talking and sharing, I thought maybe others would too.
So I'll just throw out a couple of questions to this. So right now people are asking those questions. Were people asking those questions 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Nope.
No. So why do you think, where did this awareness come from?
Because this is a fad.
Yeah. There's a lot of marketing around it. There's a lot of, you know, and yeah, there's benefit to it, no doubt. But it's what you're being made aware of. And there's, see, I'm just so, I love the internet and I love all this information and I love people being empowered, but I think too much information can get you confused and overwhelmed. And so there's, you know, this doctor saying this works and this diet says, doctor says that works, and they're in opposition to each other, right? And so people are running around like fearing really wholesome whole foods because of the lectin fear. Now, I'm not saying that that lectin sensitivity and the inability to digest lectins and the dangers of them in excess for some people isn't real, but we're not going to buy into the fact that, you know, legumes and seeds and some of the nuts and some of the vegetables are actually bad for everybody. Like, they're in nature, right? They're growing in nature. There's a need for them. There's incredible nutrition in them. Everybody's got to find the right balance for them. Oxalate sensitivity. Yeah, eliminate all oxalates. You can't. But some people need to temporarily, at least, hopefully not more than temporarily, eat a low oxalate diet because their body's not processing them properly. Every food known to man has some sort of toxicity to it if eaten in excess. It's just the plant's protection against predators. So let's just relax about food. Let's just not worry about food and worry about numbers. Yeah, I would like to get you measuring your blood glucose so that you're not skyrocketing, but you know what? If one day you go up to 115 or 20 after eating a meal and you've eaten that meal before and you never did go up to that, talk it up to maybe you were more stressed that day. Maybe that particular brand of it had, I don't know, had more pesticides in it. Maybe you didn't get as much sleep as you should have the night before. But let's just relax about it and go, oh, okay, that's interesting information. And I don't think Susan at all meant it, you know, because I know Susan's an intellectual and she wants to understand this. But a lot of folks are getting really scared of food. And I don't like it.
Right, which is why I brought it back up again, because I think it's, and I'm watching the chat, and they're saying this is a good discussion about the keto diet. Maya said that she did the mimicking with avocado and vitamin-mineral greens. She lost weight and lowered her sugar some, and she did water fasts and didn't do as well on a water fast as she did with avocado and vitamin-mineral
greens.
Not
as much as on water fast. It lowered her sugar
right. But
much, but you can't
right,
water
but
fast
I, yeah.
time. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things that you hear concepts, and there's a lot of things that people are coming up with concepts, and then they'll of course sell you the food replacement beverage and the supplements that you need when you eliminate all these foods. And, you know, some of it is very valid and some of it is good marketing. And you've got to be able to discern. And sometimes these products are great and you could use them, but not everybody needs them. Like Maya probably looked at that. If you look at the fasting mimicking diet kit that you can buy, first of all, it's very expensive. And then second of all, there may be some things in it that, like, there's some soy in it. I think I wouldn't want the soy. I will try it. I might try it. I'm not definitely allergic to soy, just to see what it's like. But in general, it's like, well, how can I do this with food? And green power, vitamin-mineral green and avocado is a great way to do it, right? So someone came up with this, and I, you know, I respect him. He wrote a great book. Nice person, means well, but not everybody needs to go buy his kit. You could do this with real food. So let's just really look at how do we just, like, optimize our macronutrient, our micronutrient intake. So the macronutrient ratios, carbohydrate, fat, and protein, the right ratios of these for you. And then how do we add the just lots and lots of antioxidant-rich vitamin and mineral-rich foods? Yeah.
Water, I completely agree with the plants.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we were at the retreat, just eating all of those vegetables, all that those plants really just really supported my body so well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's how I eat. I mean, mm-hmm. That's how I eat all the time, right? I mean, I don't have as fancy and elaborate way, but basically that's the constituents of my diet on a regular basis. So just lots and lots of plants and lots of green. the thing is that like Maya is great when she fasts, but you can't sustain yourself on fasting. Eventually you got to eat. And yeah, she can do periodic fasts. She can do two or three longer fasts in a year, but it's not a long-term solution, right? So yeah, that's really.
Yeah,
Donna, let's talk offline about that on the ERC call or have somebody contact you. Yeah, that's not appropriate for this call. It's completely out of, yeah. All right. It's intriguing, yes. You want to feel like, yeah, so fast, Susan. Do a 2 or 3 day fast and you'll feel like what keto feels like. And measure your ketones morning and night. Measure your glucose morning, night, morning, middle of the day and night. And just see it. Yeah, it's really nice. But I don't think it's something that we need. Maybe 0.4 is a good keto for you. You know what I'm saying? You may be, like some people, like I said, under 100 grams of carbohydrate a day, put them into ketosis. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Kim had a couple of questions above. I didn't see your questions. What do I think of green and matcha teas? For some people, they work great. For people with difficulty clearing caffeine, it could be problematic. See how you feel with it. There's tons of antioxidants in there. There's tons of really great stuff in there. So good food. See how it feels with your body. Yeah. Donna, yeah, you can contact any of us. Contact Lynn. You have my number, too. You can contact me. Or write to erc@dreetamarie.com, and we'll get back to you. Okay, here we go. Kim, I've come across two conflicting points of view regarding vanadium. Welcome to the club. One said I should increase it for better metabolism. Dr. Condrich's book on vision says it inhibits chromium and causes an increased intraocular pressure. I don't know about what it does for intraocular pressure, but like anything else, right? You can't just blanketly tell somebody to increase a certain thing. First of all, vanadium should never be taken for more than 3 or 4 weeks at a time because it can affect kidney function, right? So when I put people on that, yeah, so, sorry, I'm watching the things come in. Yeah, so with vanadium, I never recommend people go on it for more than 4 weeks at a time, unless it's like a minute amount in a multivitamin mineral supplement. But in general, I would say let's, think about, sorry, these things keep coming.
Kim also asked about,
what's that?
Kim also asked further up, how much zinc do you recommend?
Depends. My question depends on who you are, how
right.
Your food intake is. Were you born with a relative zinc deficiency because your mom was zinc deficient during pregnancy with you? Do you have an aromatase problem where your testosterone is being converted to estrogen in too high a rate? Do you have a 5-alpha reductase problem where that's a particular enzyme, and if it's overactive, it would be converting your hormones into forms that are not the best for you. In general, if your lab tests show a low alkaline phosphatase, I would increase the zinc a little bit. If that shows fine and you don't show signs of zinc deficiency, then maybe just what you get in food and maybe, what you get in a multivitamin mineral, like 10 or 20 milligrams a day. But I've had people go up to 50, 75, even 100 milligrams a day temporarily to replenish a long-term zinc deficiency. So it all depends on what's going on for you. Okay? Yeah, good question. March recipes are not available. Sandy, Lynn, did you know that?
They're on the Unstoppable Health site, not on the Vital. So the BLM site. So I reopened this teamwork task many times, and so I just redid it again for Jazzy to make sure it's on the BLM site.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's see what else. Is there a test for determining fatty liver? Yeah, there's some indications, and Marcy, you're an NEPT, so go when you get to the module, whatever it is, 6, 7 on lab analysis. So there's tests, there's liver function tests.
And that six is digestion, never mind.
Liver function compared to triglycerides and your lipids. So liver function and lipids would be the best way to determine if there's a fatty liver. Okay. Okay, let's see. Great. Lynn answered the question about the fatty liver. Liver enzymes can be elevated, AST and ALT, but then there's other liver functions and also triglycerides usually elevated.
Yeah, you can only put so much in a chat.
It's only so much you can do. And here's the thing. A lot of it has to do with ratios between things. So when we look at it from a functional medicine point of view, we're looking at, this is high and this is low and this is normal. And that gives us an idea of whether the liver is fatty or not, or what the reason for those shifts in those enzymes are. And without having someone in a lab in front of me to go, this looks like a fatty liver, it could take me a couple of hours to explain to you all the indications for fatty liver. And the nuances of how to read that, which we do for those of you in NEPT, we do that in that module. But if you're not a practitioner, you probably don't want to know all that. You just want to know, do you have it? So I would do a liver panel on the standard lab panel that most doctors do. If you go to Direct Labs, they will run a comprehensive wellness profile, and on there you'll have your fatty acid, your fat metabolisms and your liver, and that's all you'd need to do would be a comprehensive wellness profile from Direct Labs. I'd also like to see a vitamin D with that, because that's a fat-soluble vitamin.
And blood chemistry intro is module 9 in NEPT.
Module 9 in NEPT, great.
Yeah. But there's some really great information on the liver in the digestive module, which is module 6.
Great. Yep, there is. And for those of you in vital only, not in the practitioner training or not in our ESC, in our ERC training, we have a whole liver gallbladder section to learn about, and we have we do blood chemistry, and we do that on a retreat call where we help you go through that. So I help you read your blood chemistry, and then you also get a coach that helps you do that too. Okay. Okay. All right. That's all I see there. I'm going to go to the Q&A. Don't see there. And let's see if we see any more hands up. We have Lynn. I've got to put yours down. Anybody else have a question or comment? No questions or comments? Okay. There will be a short call. And we will go, and I will see you guys on Saturday.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Because somebody had shared about this Cyrus, and I had been just listening and following them for a little bit because they're people I wasn't familiar with. They're plant-based, and they do a lot with insulin resistance and diabetes. And they actually share a lot about what you're saying. They did Weston Price, they did plant-based keto, they did raw food. They each were explaining with the two different, between the two of them, the different modalities. They did Gabriel Cousins, raw for 30 days, all that. And so, the reason I bring this up is now they're talking about how then they both discovered Doug Graham, and the 80-10-10. And so, and they resonated with it, and so now they're eating all these fruits and some vegetables and bananas and things like that. And so they started eating these things, and suddenly they were starting to feel great and having good results. And so, and I know I've seen that with some people, but I've seen the opposite, because I'm in a lot of those groups as well. And so again, you get into that dogma. So when I'm in these groups with people, who eat a lot of fruit, I think Robert Morris is another one, that people start saying, hey, I'm having these things happening. And they're like, well, just keep eating the fruit, keep eating the fruit, you'll work it through. And like you just teach us, some things work for some people and they don't for others. Right. And yeah, right, Avis. That was because for them, the keto diet didn't work. And even if it was plant-based keto, it didn't work. And that's why, you know, it may not work for me necessarily. And yeah, so we have to do what's best for our body. Only our body contains the story that we have to tell. And so that's why I just so appreciate everything you shared earlier about that.
Thank you. And here's the thing, right? Some people will go like looking from diet to diet. When they finally found the one that works for them, then they are resonating and they're following it. And maybe they're modifying it slightly or whatever, or some just follow it as is. But here's the thing. They stopped when they found the one that works for them. Right? And it doesn't mean that that's going to work for everyone. There's tons of people who go on that high fruit diet, who throw their blood sugars way out of balance. I tried it for 3 days and I thought I was going to, have a sugar coma.
Right.
But it didn't work.
Yeah. I get very out of
balance with too much sugar and not enough green. So we have to find what works for us. I am not an advocate of a keto diet the way that it is taught and most people follow. It's extremely high in animal fat. It's extremely low in nutrients, in phytonutrients, in antioxidants, right? And so you've got to take that all with a grain of salt. Like, what works best for you? There's a lot of folks that are bad mouthing and putting people who have cancer on high fruit diets. And a lot of them, it makes them worse because the sugar feeds the cancer. I believe that we've got to find the best diet, but there are certain basic principles. We need to eat real food. That's first and foremost. The foods that have one ingredient, those are the foods we eat. And then we might put them together ourselves, or have someone we trust put them together. But they're real foods. And they're not like fractionated foods. I'm not a big fan of oil. I'm not saying that we should have to avoid oil like the plague. There are therapeutic uses. There are times when people's digestive tracts are so messed up and they're really skinny and they just can't eat enough food, that oils can help to keep the calories on so that they have some energy to heal. But in general, oils are not real food. There's fractured food. Just like white flour, we don't eat white flour. We don't like white sugar because it's a fractured food. What about oil? Where's the protein? Where's the carbohydrate? It's only the fat. So when we isolate particular food constituents, we can get into trouble if we don't know what we're doing. So that's where Doug Graham's 80-10-10 and Robert Morris, whatever he recommends, which is a lot of fruits, fresh fruits and veggies, great basis. But where you get your macronutrients makes a difference. So for some people, they need a higher percentage of fat just because of their metabolic rate being so fast, they need extra, right? So we need to just stay away from, as Ava says, the extremes in many fad diets. And I'm not saying that a raw foods diet high in fruit is a fad diet. It's a specific category that works for some people and not for others. But we all need to have really to be healthy, we need to have a very large percentage of our diet be fresh foods, fresh fruits and vegetables. The degree of fruit based on the person's ability to handle it at that point in time. For a while, I ate no fruit. Now I can eat fruit as long as I eat it small amounts. I eat it slowly. I don't blend or juice it. And I eat it with greens. Well, that's the way we should be eating fruits. That's how animals do it. You don't see animals going out there and just eating the fruit off the tree. They're eating the fruit and the leaves. Right, we say we're like apes and they eat lots of bananas, but they wrap the banana in the banana leaf. So let's just find what works for us. And if a particular diet doesn't work for you, it doesn't mean that it's a bad diet, unless it's a standard American hot dog diet. Of course, I think that's a bad diet, but that goes without saying. But it's not that it's a bad diet. It's just not the right diet for you. And guess what? Just like religions, you're like, oh, I like this religion, except there's a few things in here that I like better about that religion. And you can push them together because it's your own spirituality. The same thing with food. The same thing with your food. You find the foods that work with you, for you, the foods you feel well at. Lynn said, hey, I was just at this retreat and they all made all the food and it was all this fresh whole food. It was wonderful. It was a combination of lots of raw, lots of cultured foods and some cooked vegetables. It was low glycemic. The only grains they served were quinoa and the only legumes they served were lentils and these nice soups with lots of veggies. So, wow, it worked really well. Right?
For me.
For her. For an awful lot of people who said that, but everybody chose a different, if you looked at people's plates, they were different. They were different.
Yeah.
I looked at my plate was 75% green every single time. It was 75% green. I had less of whatever else there was, and most of it was green anyway, because the stuff I had that wasn't like a salad and veggies was basically the enchilada made with cabbage rolls. And stuffed with veggies and then have a sauce, an enchilada sauce on it. Right? Yummy. But they're all made with whole fresh foods. And feel good with that. You go, okay, let me stick with this. If you find that, you know, you can't eat a lot of fat. I can't eat a ton of fat. I eat small amounts. People say, oh my God, you must eat a lot of fat. No, I don't. I eat my nuts and seeds cultured or blended with herbs and spices as sauces over my veggies. The majority of what I eat are green leafy vegetables, rainbow vegetables too. I love my red bell peppers and my yellow bell peppers and orange bell peppers and tomatoes and tomatillos and cauliflower and all sorts of beautiful veggies that are out there. Carrots. I find I can eat small amounts of cooked carrots and large amounts of uncooked carrots. Otherwise my blood sugar goes up. Let's eat the way our body says yes to. So I'm about giving you more and more tools to help you figure out what your body responds to. So glucose meter. Some people don't need the glucose meter. They can just tell that food made me feel a little awful and my head felt a little buzzy. I felt a little bit unfocused. Great. You learn, you learn, you learn. Yeah.
Right. And Ava said, what do you think about eliminating all oils and salt?
For some people, that works great. That's the other one, the SOS diet, eliminate all sugar, salt, and oil. Okay, great. What is sugar? What's the definition of sugar? Yeah, if it's an isolated sugar extracted from something, I am all for that. If it's oil, for most people, I am great with it. If they want a little pinch of salt here, oil here and there. But salt, I have a little bit of question about because some people are so adrenally depleted that they're peeing away all their salt from their body, all their sodium. So it's all a matter of looking at blood work, looking at how they feel. And I don't think salt is the bad guy that a lot of people think it is. So, yeah, we have to find what we do. But for some people, yeah, eliminate salt. It's great. But we can't be so, what's the word? So
it's almost like you shouldn't be food phobic.
Food phobic, right. Exactly. Exactly. Play with it. Try it. Look, I'm not telling you to go out and have cotton candy and see if it works for you. You know better than that, right? I'm talking about amongst the real.
That's not food.
Food. That's not food. That's a food product or a food of
chemical
that they're trying to make you think is food. Right. But amongst the real foods, let's not just brandish it, put them into the category of these are bad foods, right? Well, right. Chia seeds may not work for you. They may work beautifully for me. Let's say that chia is a bad food and nobody should eat it, right? Raw versus cooked, right? We can be very dogmatic about it for many years. And even still now, probably like 95% of what I eat is raw. Probably less at this retreat because she made more cooked dishes, but it was still at least 85% that I ate was raw, right? Because, and I do great with that. I did 100% for a while when I was in my cleansing phase. In the summer, I mostly do raw. I don't want to eat hot food. And I'm hot already. I don't need to add hot food. In the winter, I eat a lot more vegetables. What's that?
You are hot.
I am hot. I'm mostly cold. But I try to be
hot.
No,
that's not what I meant.
Oh, okay. Let's play with words, right?
But let's just I want to be like you when I grow up.
When you grow up? When you get to be my age?
No, I'm just kidding. You're really only a couple of years older than I am, and
my age now.
But you seem so much younger at times than I do, and it's like, yeah, that's how I just want to be at right now. And that's because you listen to your body.
That's your choice. That's your choice of listening to your body, drinking water when it needs it. Sometimes when it doesn't need it, when you've done something that should say, hey, I better eat more water. Like you've eaten salty food. Drink more water, please. You've just exercised. I went out there and I exercised for an hour, 45 minutes this morning. I went out it was warm even at 9 o'clock this morning, and I was doing bursts. I was doing, okay, I'm going to do 30 seconds hard as I can, and then I'm going to do 2.5 minutes of just, you know, kind of jogging along, and then 30 seconds of as fast as I can. My clothes were drenched. That's why my voice was telling me just a little while ago, hey, girl, you didn't drink enough when you came back. I wasn't listening, right? And I was feeling a little bit, I was going for my words. I couldn't find my words. Why? I was dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we all have choices. And it all comes down to every choice you make matters regarding your health. To eat when you're no longer hungry, but just because it looks good. That's not a good choice. I don't care whatever the food is. It could be, you know, kale. It could be broccoli. It could be, you know, fresh fruit, whatever it is. If you don't listen to your body, you're not going to get far. So let's listen to the body. Yeah. Sandy says I'm laughing with you too. Love chuckling. Good. Keep laughing. I can get very adamant and I can get very passionate. And the reason I get passionate is that I see too many people getting food phobic, as Lynn said. And I want you to be food phobic. Yes, be food phobic when it comes to soft drinks and hot dogs and cotton candy and all that garbage. Right? That's not food.
Because they're not food.
They're not food. Don't eat them. What did I say last week? I said, yeah, I don't have any temptations. I go and somebody wants to serve me a beautiful cake, and I don't even see it as a beautiful cake, and I don't even see the temptation. It looks like dog poop to me. I don't put that in my body. Right? That would get you chuckling, Sandy. But it's true. I don't think of them as foods. I have no need for it. But if somebody, you know, rolls out these beautiful, I don't know, raw cacao bonbons that have cordyceps and coconut and some other herbs in them.
Served at the retreat.
Yeah. And I blend kale, by the way. I sometimes put kale and broccoli powder into those just to fortify them. And I'm thinking, it looks beautiful and I know what's in it. I may overeat them if I don't listen to my body and say, you've had enough. Don't eat more. Don't have that old famine need like we had when we were good. This food phobic phase in next week's spot program. I think I will because I'm seeing that a lot. There's so many lovely people in Sweet Spot who are doing their testing but getting freaked out and saying, oh, my God, I spiked to 112. That's not a spike. You're within the undanger zone. You're within the grace period, right? But if you're consistently going up on foods that didn't used to make you go up, then you want to look at the other aspects. You want to look at the stress. There was an interesting blog post. I don't know if I posted it. It was a Facebook post by Mike Mutzel, who was talking about how he got this continuous glucose meter and he's wearing it. And he had just fasted for 14 hours, and he was getting to a plane, and his blood thing read out that he was at like 161. And he was
at what?
And rushing. And then we didn't, you know, he did some heart math. He calmed himself down. Whatever he did. He didn't say he did that, but I know he likes heart math. So he probably did some heart math and calmed himself down. And then it went back down to 93. But it was catching him. That's the thing about it. If you don't sleep well, he said he hadn't slept all the night before because he had to catch an early flight. So there's all this stress going on. So he really, his point of his article was, it's not just about the food. When you eat even the best of food and you're paranoid and you're food phobic and you're worrying about how it's going to affect you, it's not going to have as good an effect as if you just love it. Like, just sit there with it and love on the food. Looks like dog food last thing again. I think I will say that when people bug me about food. Yes. I wouldn't even feed that.
Sandy
stuff
actually
my dog
had a
though. What?
She had a good question earlier up. It has to do with supplements and timing.
Yeah.
She said when she was seeing her functional medicine doctor, he said it was okay to take thyroid pills with the folate, Cbiotica, probiotic, and a few other things together. And
beautiful.
So her question has to do with, you know, and there is a supplement, Vital Health Topic, where you talk about which ones to take together and which to take on an empty stomach and which with food. And
most docs are telling folks that they have to take thyroid on an empty stomach. Her guy, because of, you know, he knows her and he knows what form of thyroid it might be. It might not be Synthroid, it might be another, but a lot of people are told you have to take thyroid on an empty stomach and it won't work. But that's not necessarily, I think, what the point is. It's not necessarily 100% true for everybody in every form and every supplement. But it's easier to say don't take any supplements than for the doctor to learn which ones are okay. So I think it's great that you figured that out, and now you don't have to just take folate, and then you have to take the others, and then you have to take the thyroid, and you're trying to find out how do I find all the hours in the day to make this work.
Right, because all you end up doing is just thinking about which supplements you're taking.
Right, and I want you to hear. Right, the whole point of eating well and taking care of yourself is to have the freedom to have fun and to live with passion and without thinking constantly, is this going to be okay? And even like environmental stuff, there's a lot of crappy places that you can go to. There's places you go stay at a hotel or even a restaurant and they may have just used ammonia or Clorox or something to clean the tables. Yeah, you want to be careful. You control the things you can. And if there is some place that's really toxic, you can avoid going there, but you gotta live. We can't avoid it all. People ask me about my swimming pool. We haven't yet converted our swimming pool to salt water. We have it in the plans and it just hasn't made the cut yet. Do I not swim? No. I still swim in my pool. I just take other precautions to help me dissipate the chlorine. And I keep the chlorine level as low as I possibly can. And we grow algae on the side of the pool a little bit just because of that, but that's okay. Right, so I can't control everything. And I will. That will be something I will get to. But right now I'm controlling so much. And I feel great. My family feels great. Nobody's sick. Nobody has any issues. I know that that's going to be the next step. But let's not just get, I got to do this and I got to do that. Live. Have fun. Enjoy. Connect. Be with your family. Be with your friends. Have fun. What do I take after chlorine swimming? I don't take anything specifically after I swim. I take care of myself on a daily basis. I may up my level of vitamin C, you know, to try to pull it out. Iodine would be great. I eat sea vegetables. I'll make a nice big sea veggie salad, right? But I do all these things, not necessarily like, oh, I just swam, so I have to have extra. But I do it on a regular basis to try to dissipate. So if you're exposed to chlorine or you're in a bromine, what do they call that? A bromine treated hot tub, then you want to make sure that there's plenty of iodine to displace that, because chlorine and bromine will attach to iodine receptors and block thyroid function and breast tissue. It has to do with the pancreas. So I would say sea vegetables is great. And constant fear is very stressful too. That's right, Avis. So let's let go of fear. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Let's take a nice big deep breath. And take another one and breathe through your heart and activate a feeling of love and appreciation. And just look around you. I want you to just say, I am safe. I am safe. Learned a really nice, from Laura Fine, we learned a really nice little ritual that you can do to just get you out of that fear. Because we get into fear, and some of that fear is based on an early childhood exposure. You know, those ACEs study, if you haven't seen that, look up ACEs study. A lot of things that happened in our early life were just, they're imprinted in the nervous system, so we have fears. So when you feel that anxiety or fear coming up, take some breaths, look around. Just look around your environment. Look through the windows, look through the doors, look through the escape routes. Take some breaths. Maybe just say, I'm safe, I feel safe. And that's just part of the routine, but that's the part that I can teach you and you can do in an instant. Because really, like, we may be thinking that we're feeling unsafe and the phobia starts to come up and the fear comes up in our body. And so we just teach our body something different. We be present, ground yourself, feet on the ground, and look around. Are there any tigers about to jump out at you? Is there a fire about to happen? Is there somebody out coming at you with a knife? No, generally not. So you just reinforce to your nervous system, I am safe. Look at that. Oh, look at that pretty picture on the wall. Look at that beautiful tree out the window. There's an exit there, so I can leave at any point in time I want. I am safe. And if you do that enough, you can retrain your nervous system. When it starts to go into that mode, which maybe it was a scared 5-year-old who was, you know, trying to escape from mom and dad yelling and being in fear, whatever it might have been, reprogram it. Look around and just tell yourself, hey, yeah, I'm safe. Yeah, I'm safe. Awesome. Anything else you want to add to that, Lynn?
No, you've done. No, that's perfect. That's,
yeah.
That's just the most important thing you can do is when you start feeling like checking out and leaving the building is bring yourself in your space and
right.
See where you're at.
Right. And when you sit there with your plate, yeah, if you go to a restaurant and they serve you sausage and bratwurst and hot dogs and, you know, don't eat it. Don't be fearful of it. Just don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for veggies. Ask for a salad. Ask for an avocado. Most restaurants have it. They may not even have it on the menu, but here's how I read a menu when I go to a restaurant. I open it up and I look at everything, including all the meat dishes and the stuff I'm not going to order. And they look to see what their little sides are. And I, oh, they have Brussels sprouts. Oh, look at that. They have sliced avocado. Oh, look, they have mango over there. And I have this idea now of what their inventory is. And I say, hey, you know, I'd just like to share with you, I have some food sensitivities. And I don't see anything on the menu that I could order as is. But is it okay if we just pull a few sides from different places? Generally, they'll say, sure, how can I help you? And you tell them what your needs are. Mm-hmm. But don't feel like you just have to give up when you go to a restaurant and then just don't eat in fear of the food hurting you, because even if it's not going to hurt you, it'll hurt you if you're fearful of it. Right? So let's just make friends with food. Let's make friends with sleep. Let's make friends with the environment. We can't escape. There's toxins all around us. The way we can handle it is we can reduce our toxic load by what we choose and how we choose to clean our homes and put stuff on our skin and all that, and what we put in our body and what kind of water we drink. Just take the things you can control and just let go of the rest. Okay? So, thank you, everybody, for being here. I don't see any other questions come in, Linda.
There actually is another one. It came up earlier.
Oh.
Kim was asking, are you familiar with EWOT, exercise with oxygen therapy? used for people who are under oxygenated.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I think I've heard Gabriel Cousin talk about that. And yeah, I think that, you know, if you find somebody who's an expert in that and has and you feel comfortable with that person, you feel like it's a good thing for you, give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I was going to share one thing, too, when you were talking about the chlorine, and I'm only mentioning it because we're now heading into, at least where I live, you know, the pools are going to be open, schools are letting out, and kids will be spending more time in chlorinated swimming pools. So when my kids would go to the swimming pool in town, when they came home, I would put vitamin C powder in their bath water.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of helps pull some of that out. Yep. So, but like you said, you do those things all along, so you just have to add in those little adjuncts.
Yeah.
To support it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder since iodine gets absorbed well topically, if you just put a few drops of blue gall solution in the bathtub, you wouldn't want to see that. There's so many things you can do, and then you can Google, like, how do you just dissipate the negative effects of chlorine.
Yep, good idea.
Yeah, thank you, great ideas. Anybody else? Sandy likes when we said about animals eating greens with fruit. They do.
Yeah.
They do. Awesome. All right, everybody, I am going to open up the line so you can all say goodbye to each other. Thanks for being here. Please do come on for the Vital Healing Kitchen. If you have any other questions on the Vital. Bye, everybody.
And those will be great for Memorial.
Whoops, wait a minute. Lynn, go for it. What were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, with Memorial Day being on Monday, many of those recipes will be good for that.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll do potato salad.
Absolutely.
Pick 'em a potato salad.
Pick 'em a potato salad. Yeah, we've done that one. You can look that one up. We've had that. And
yeah.
We've done that plenty of times.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.